Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're continuing our series on Jonah, and today is Jonah's second chance. God gives Jonah a second chance here in Jonah chapter 3 with the same exact words, and there's a reason for that, as what God had given Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, rise up, go to Nineveh, the great and mighty city. How will Jonah respond? How will Jonah go with his second chance? More importantly, how do you go forward with second chances in life? More importantly than that, how does God act in our second and third chances as we move forward? From my experience in life, I think that when we're given second chances, there's usually two outcomes for how that plays out. The first is when we have a failed at first attempt, we get even more excited and more enthusiastic to do better that second and third time. Now, in general, that's the way I operate. I like a challenge. When I know I can't do something, I go forward with 110%. We experienced this last week about 10 days ago. As Miles, our life has changed a lot in 10 days, Miles is beginning to crawl. Army crawl, that is. 10 days ago, that was not the case. And as I was watching him for a few days, it was interesting to see the progression. The first attempt that he had, first couple attempts, I would say, he lifted his head up and he had his arms underneath him and he seemed kind of sturdy. But then when he moved one of his arms forward, his head just crashed down. It was a terrible and epic fail. And then he'd kick his legs, and he actually didn't make any movement at all. Now, as I watched him do this over and over again, I saw inside of him a hunger and an excitement to do even better the next time. And here we are 10 days later, about maybe a few less, 9 days or so later, and he is motoring all over our house. It's our new floor cleaning strategy. Go for it. Clean it. It's great. A good reason to have wood floors. Have a child and just launch them. Crawl. Automatic cleaning. It's great. And we're thinking, boy, if only we could go back to 10 days ago when there was stationary, there was predictability, and it was great. No. See, his way of approaching second chances, third chances, is 110% effort. That's the way it operates. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, actually, that we move forward with 110% effort. Sometimes we're so drained from a first attempt that we have very little to give in the second attempt. Let's say 30%. Sometimes we're so depressed with a failed attempt and down and motionless and emotionless that we only have only 2% to give on that second opportunity. Sometimes we're knocked down so much in our first attempt that we don't even try a second attempt. As I think about it that way, there are some relationships that I have had where people have disappointed me, and I have given them forgiveness, and it seems like it's been going better, but then they disappoint me again, and I got to be honest with you, that second or third attempt where there's been forgiveness, I've held myself back in second and third opportunities. I've given maybe 80% of me back to that person. I've given maybe 60% back to the person. I've become a little more detached. No, I've never done that to anyone else. I have. There are times that I've disappointed other people. And they've given me forgiveness, and I have messed up a second or third time. And as that person has related with me, I've noticed that they've become a little more detached. Maybe they give 60% or 40%. See, this is a different way of approaching second chances. When we enter into those moments, we go half-hearted. Maybe we go a little hesitant. Maybe we drag our feet in offering second, offering of a second chance. Where are you today with the second and third chances that are offered to you in your relationships or the goals that you have in life? Are you one who goes forward with 110% effort forward, or are you one that just has barely anything to give? You're tanked. You can only give 30%. What about Jonah here in a second chance in Jonah chapter 3? Jonah is given that second opportunity, and you might, before even reading the text, you might come to the conclusion, this guy's going to give 110%. This is going to be awesome, powerful. And we think that because of all the things that happened back in Jonah chapter 1 and who these Ninevites are. Let's remember that God had asked, Jonah's fail was epic. It's the worst fail. I don't like to compare him in the Bible, but like if you're doing a rating, this is like 10.5 out of 10. Epic fail here. God tells Jonah to go east. Jonah goes west. If you remember, God tells Jonah to go to downtown Portland, the tough inner city people. Jonah goes out to the beach and has a drink and relaxes. Then when the storm comes up, Jonah goes down to the belly of that boat and goes to sleep and becomes apathetic. The sailors, who they're noted as pagans in chapter 1, they're the ones who offer a prayer up to God. Now as we enter into Jonah chapter 3, you might be thinking, ooh, this is the time where Jonah's going to bring his A game. And he's going to give a passionate, amazing sermon, epic. And he's going to turn the Ninevites from their evil and wicked ways. 110%. Now the Ninevites do change their ways. We read that in the text. But as I've carefully studied this, I actually think Jonah enters into his second chance at about 30%. Not a lot of effort. Why do I say that? Well, one, the text does not say that Jonah ever repented of his turning from God in Jonah chapter 3. And most scholars will say, if you look this up, most scholars say that he went to Nineveh just because he knew he couldn't escape God. He couldn't escape him in the belly of the fish, couldn't escape him in the belly of the ship, couldn't escape him in Tarshish. And so he might as well just go to Nineveh. Other scholars say he went there to proclaim destruction so that these Ninevites could have it. And then there's his message. How many words are there? If you look at actually his sermon, now he probably preached a longer sermon, but there's only 5 words to his sermon. 5 words. Do you see it there? 5 words that mention nothing about the salvation of God, nothing about God's mercy, nothing about God's love for people. His sermon is basically this: yet in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. How would you like it if we came up here every Sunday and that's it for the sermon? 5 words. In about 40 days, peace will be destroyed. That's not really an impassionate, amazing sermon. I think what happens here is Jonah's dragging his feet. And in Jonah chapter 4, we find out Jonah thinks the Ninevites are not worth it. They're not worthy of God's mercy. This is a 30 or 40% effort. It's low. But the strange thing here in this text is that although Jonah gives 30 or 40%, the change happens. And this entire city changes with their heart towards God. How's that possible? The math doesn't really add up there. Jonah, 30% effort, yet there's a big change to God. These Ninevites were the wicked people. They were the ones who their works were an aroma to God that was displeasing, Nahum says. And here in this text, they have an amazing turn towards God. The Ninevites turn towards God, their king, not just their king, but all the people put on sackcloth and ashes. And even their livestock turn in repentance. Did you catch that little detail? The animals even turn. Everyone in Nineveh turns toward God, and their works become pleasing before God. So what do we do with this text? Well, a lot of people say this. I'm going to go a different way on this text today. A lot of people say, go out to a wicked place and share a message, and then the wicked will turn from their ways, and everything will be wonderful. That's one way to go. Now, what I'd like to say is that's very impractical. I don't see anyone here this morning saying, I'm going to sell my house and go halfway across the world and preach the good news that you should change and do this sort of thing. I don't think anyone here would do that. Well, what can we take away for our own personal lives from this text? Well, here it is. Jonah gives 40% effort. God goes to work, and amazing things happen. The Bible, in general, is not about your effort. It's not about how hard you try. The Bible is more about the little that we have to offer, we give. And God goes to work in a powerful way and can do amazing things, even turning an entire city. Christians do math a little bit differently than the rest of the world. Maybe you had that coach on your team that told you to give 110% at the next game. Or maybe you had a pastor or a teacher tell you in Sunday school that you're either on fire for the Lord 100% or you're not. You're either obeying God 100% or you're not. You either love God 100% or you're not. Now, that's not to say we should be trying 110% in our relationship to God. We should be wanting to give 100% to God. But friends, that is not life. That is not the way the Bible teaches it. Sometimes the weeks that we have in life, we're so drained and our schedules are so knocked off that all we can offer is 20% of ourselves. Sometimes life is good and we have good weeks and the schedules go in place and we have connections with our loved ones and we can offer 70% of ourselves. Sometimes we have weeks in which they're really bad and all we can offer to others is 2%. Friends, the percent does not matter. What matters is that we give what we do have. God comes along beside us. And he gives his power and he completes what we do and powerful things can happen. The Bible says those words, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." We drag our feet. We hesitate in our second chances. The good news is that God fills the void and fills what we are lacking in effort, and he brings it up to 100%. Now, didn't plan to talk about this, but Mal gave me an opening here this morning, and I'm going to take it. Here at Peace, let's think about this in a whole new way. As we think about the volunteering that we have, as we think about the projects that we take on at Peace, as we think about the Bible studies, everything that we do at Peace, let's specifically talk about the parking lot. Now, it would be great, don't get me wrong, if someone said, "Here's the money for the parking lot." That would be cool. Now, I'm not saying, hey, that's a good thing. But what I find inspirational and have found inspirational is when people come forward with maybe the very little that they do have and they give. They don't give 110%, but they can give maybe 5% of themselves to a project or to a volunteering activity. About a month ago, we had someone come who had never even attended a worship service at our church. They're planning to park their car out on the parking lot next summer when they move here. Now, they didn't give 150% or whatever the percentages are. They just gave in the moment the little that they had, the extra, because that's the way they felt, that's what they thought they could give. Another person this week came and visited me. They don't use a parking space. They usually don't come to church with a car and park it out in the parking lot. They come to church on their bike. They saw the parking lot and they said, "You know what? I'd like to give $20. Here it is. I'm putting it into an envelope. Here you go." He doesn't even have a car that he brings here. See, he was giving in the moment the little that he had, the little effort that he had in the moment to bless. Another person, when we started the parking lot, doesn't even come to church here. He comes to the community events that we have at church. He's actually Jewish. He loves the community offerings that we have at Peace. He gave $100 in the moment. He didn't know how much we were trying to raise. You see, it was just a matter of, in the moment, I'm going to give the little bit that I have, the little effort, the little thing that I have, to put it out there in my second chance, my opportunity. If we look at volunteering here with fellowship, with flowers, everything that we do at Peace, with that attitude, sometimes we can't give 150%. But can we give 10%? Can we give 15% of ourselves? Rely on God to fill in the rest? That's good doctrine. That's the church's teaching. No one can give 100% of themselves. Not you, not me. Only one, Jesus. He gave 100% of himself in his life and in his death and in his resurrection, it is reigning today for us. And so as we move forward with whatever we do in life, let's think about Jonah. Half-hearted effort. Only gives 30%. And let's not blame him and say he's a bad person. Maybe that's all he could give. He was in a dark place. As we move forward with what we have, let's go forward to those second chances. 10, 15, wherever you're at. And let's give, trusting that the Lord will fill in the rest. And boy, did he do that with the city of Nineveh. Amen.